te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Before I begin, I want to thank you all very much for attending the class, giving me the opportunity to share Srila Prabhupada's glorious teachings with everyone here. It is a privilege, an honor, and a pleasure. And I pray to all of you to please pray that I may say something useful and beneficial and helpful to all of us, including myself, because by my own lights, I can do very little, but by the prayers of devotees, much can be accomplished. Thank you very much. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's Canto 7, Chapter 7, Text 48. Tasmat Ataha cha kamaha cha dharma cha yat apashreya bhajata anihaya atmanam Aniham Harim Ishvaram. Tasmat Arthascha Kamascha Dharmascha Yad Apashraya Bhajatani Hayatmanam Aniham Harim Ishvaram Tasmat Arthascha Kamascha Dharmascha Yad Apashraya Bhajatani Hayatmanam Aniham Harim Ishvaram Tasmat Arthascha Kamascha Dharmascha Yad Apashraya Bhajatani Hayatmanam Aniham Harim Ishvaram. Please chant. Mataji's. Tasmat, therefore, artaha, ambitions for economic development, sha, and kamaha, ambitions for satisfaction of the senses, cha, also, dharma, duties of religion, sha, and yat, upon whom, apashraya, dependent, bhajita, worship, anihaya, without desire for them, atmanam, the supersoul, aniham, indifferent, harim, the supreme personality of Godhead, Ishvaram, the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. The four principles of advancement in spiritual life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, all depend on the disposition of... of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of the devotees. Without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Worship Him, the Supersoul, in devotional service. Please repeat. The four principles of advancement in spiritual life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of the devotees. Without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Worship Him, the Supersoul, in devotional service. Purport. These are words of intelligence. Everyone should know that in every stage of life, we are dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Dharma, religion, which we accept, should be that which is recommended by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavat Dharma. That's the eternal religion. That's what Bhagavat Dharma is. Not the religion of this time or this condition or this place, but the eternal religion which has been established by the Supreme Lord and promulgated by His great servants, the sages, the saints. This is the instruction of Krishna. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. To take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna means to act according to the rules and regulations of Bhagavat Dharma, devotional service. As far as economic development is concerned, we should discharge our occupational duties, but fully depend on the lotus feet of the Lord for the results. Karmanyevadikaraste ma paleshu kadachana. Quote, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. So who is entitled to the fruits of action? Yes, Krishna. And why? Anybody? Huh? Yes, right. He causes this. He makes it happen. He arranges. He's the screenwriter, so to speak. But he doesn't write whimsically or rashly. He writes according to the karmic script. And he gives persons their results from their previous activities. And he gives devotees their results according to what he thinks is best for them. using the karmic reactions or not using them as he sees fit. He's completely independent to give us whatever he feels we need. And this is what devotional service is all about, depending upon Krishna. So, continuing. According to one's position, one should perform his duties, but for the results, one should fully depend upon Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur sings that our only desire should be to perform the duties of Krishna consciousness. We should not be misled by the karma mimamsa philosophy, which concludes that if we work seriously, the results will come automatically. This is not a fact. The ultimate result depends upon the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In devotional service, therefore, the devotee completely depends upon the Lord and honestly performs his occupational duties. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advised his friends to depend completely on Krishna and worship him in devotional service. The four principles of advancement in spiritual life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees. Without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Worship him, the Supersoul, in devotional service. Om Ajnana Timiranda Syaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So here we see Prahlad Maharaj, a five-year-old little boy. Just imagine it. And he's talking to his fellow students. And he's instructing them, teaching them, guiding them. He feels their misery. He feels their pain. He feels their uncertainty and their doubts. And how they try to, and how they try to ignore them, avoid them, forget them, by getting involved with frivolous activities. The activities of children. They play, they scream, they squeal, they yell, they jump, they throw balls to one another, they run, they tackle each other, they roll on the ground, they play blind man's buff, they play, bullfighting, so to speak, mock bullfighting. These are all the games that Krishna played. They dive into ponds after frogs. They make funny bird sounds, frog sounds. This is how they distract and divert themselves from thinking about the miseries, the problems, the uncertainties that exist in material existence. But not Prahlad Maharaj. He has been instructed by Narada Muni about all this and how people continuously avoid, ignore, forget, disregard the problems, pressures, tensions, stresses of material life. So many different, especially in this day and age, so many different diversions, so many different distractions. You can watch the television for 9 hours a day. You can stay on your computer for 15 hours a day. People do that. They get what they call computer addiction. Yeah, they have to go to, like they have Alcoholics Anonymous, so they have Computer Anonymous. So you go there, and so that how you can get, how you can withdraw from it. Of course, after you get withdrawal symptoms, they walk around in the street doing this kind of a thing. Of course, they're used to hitting the keys and so forth. So anyway, the important thing is that in those particular days of Prahlad Maharaj, He knew that this is only going to worsen the situation. And here he is very boldly, frankly, directly telling his friends, don't listen to these, our teachers, Sanda and Amarga. They're misleading us, misguiding us, misdirecting us. If we follow them, we'll be as miserable as they are. Look at my father. He's always drinking, trying to forget his miseries, his pains, his suffering. Even though he has unlimited pleasure, in spite of that fact, he's still empty on the inside. He's not in touch with the Supreme Lord. He's not feeling the bliss, the peace, the strength, the love of God. And consequently, he has to drink, says, on strong-smelling wines. A person drinks to forget, to ignore, to disregard, to not have to deal with the problems. So Prahlad is, he feels the suffering of these little children and he wants to relieve them. This is the nature of pure devotee. He wants to relieve the children so that they don't become like their fathers. They don't become like his father. And he's so bold, he's so courageous, he's so strong, he's so upfront, in your face, as we say. He's not afraid. He's already been thrown off mountains. He's already been stabbed with tridents. He's already been thrown under the feet or under the hoofs of elephants. He's already been thrown into the ocean. They try to drown him. He's already been subjected to blasting winds, severe cold, scorching heat, poison. You name it, they tried and they didn't succeed. Because why? It says right here, he had taken shelter of Krishna. And his shelter was so pure, it was so dependent. He was a little boy. What can a little boy do with his fists, even a sword? He can't do anything. He's helpless. But he had one major, most powerful weapon, and that was simply to pray to the Lord in a surrendered fashion. He didn't care what happened to him. Kill me, fine. Let me live, fine. It doesn't matter what you do to me. It only matters what I'm thinking and feeling and willing at the time you do it to me. And what was he thinking, feeling, and willing? My dear Lord Krishna, I am yours. I am surrendered to you. I am your dependent servant. Whatever you wish to do with me, do it. Whatever you do to me or for me will be in my best interest. Even if it pains me, even if it disturbs me, even if it shakes me, even if I fall or I rise or I get injured, whatever you do to me or for me will be in my best interest, no matter what it may appear to be externally. I am yours, always yours. Please let me never be anything else but yours. So when Prahlad Maharaj prays in this manner, the Lord is touched, he's moved, he's stirred, he's stimulated. I cannot let my devotee be harmed in any such way. I must protect him. I must coddle him. I must embrace him so that nothing untoward or unfavorable which comes at him can affect him. And that's what he did. Eventually, as we will see, we move forward. The teachers of Prahlad Maharaj become very upset, very disturbed, because what Prahlad is teaching these boys will reflect upon them. And they live for nothing else but appearances. How do I look? How am I performing? How are people regarding me? How are people looking up to me or looking down upon me? Their entire life is appearances. Unlike Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't care how he appears. As he already said, you can kill me, you can pierce me with the trident. Whatever you want to do is fine with me because I take shelter of Krishna. I am nothing. I have nothing. I know nothing. I do nothing. I want nothing except pure love for the lotus feet of Krishna. And if I have that want satisfied, I have everything. What more do we need than to have pure love of Krishna? Because if we have the pure love of Krishna that little Prahlad Maharaj has, he had everything. He had full protection from the greatest, the most powerful, strong, knowledgeable, intelligent being in the universe, in all universes. He had the Supreme Lord's mercy. You can't beat that. That's the highest. That's the best. That's the greatest. When Krishna's eye is upon us, when he smiles upon the soul, and the soul feels the peace, the strength, the love, the happiness that Krishna is capable of giving us, the soul is sure. It no longer lives in faith, it lives in experience then. Faith is what you believe will happen. Hope is what you hope will happen, what you're anticipating to happen at some time. But realization is what is happening, what you're feeling within. And he had a relationship with Krishna. He felt the presence of Krishna. We know that. I read that in my last class, where he would walk along and he would chant the holy name of the Lord and he would break into ecstasy and he would feel the presence of Krishna. He would feel the guidance of Krishna, the love of Krishna. And feeling that, he was bubbling with ecstasy. Tears were flowing down his cheeks. His hands were trembling. His voice was choking. The color became blanched. He was stunned. He would have to stop at certain moments. He couldn't speak. His voice was choked up. These are some of the symptoms of ecstasy that a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, like Srila Prabhupada, would manifest. Of course, Srila Prabhupada did not avoid this generally. Sometimes he couldn't help it. Sometimes tears would just squirt out of his eyes. He felt such closeness, such nearness, such intimacy with Krishna. Having felt that, he couldn't help it. Tears would come down and he would lower his head like this. He didn't like putting on shows. This is the mark of a great devotee. He avoids wanting to put on a show of ecstasy. He tries to avoid it. Even Lord Chaitanya would turn it off at times because of people would not understand it. And sometimes devotees who were watching might just try to imitate it. He didn't want that. If it came of its own accord, by virtue of our developed spiritual consciousness, our dedicated consciousness, then that would be fine. But not imitation. Besides, devotees, when they experience some of these ecstatic symptoms in the presence of others, if they're not truly pure, can also become vain. You begin to think that you're important. You think that you're superior. You think you're better than others. They're not experiencing what I'm experiencing. Just see my spiritual opulence. I'm so glorious, so grand, so wonderful. This is the mentality that a devotee can acquire. Or people are bowing down to you. People are honoring you, applauding you, glorifying you, respecting you. And you think you're special. You're unusual. You're amazing. And if you don't throw that filth off, you get poisoned by it. And when you're poisoned by it, you actually begin to forget Krishna, because you begin to think, we are Krishnas. And as soon as we begin to think we are Krishnas, we are in big, big trouble. The trouble is that the more we forget Krishna, you know what happens? He withdraws the opulence, withdraws the potency, withdraws the strength, withdraws the love, withdraws the ecstasy that you had, and suddenly you are reduced to a big, gaping emptiness. And what do you do? Well, when you're feeling empty, when you're feeling shallow, when really you want to feel ecstatic, you want to feel fulfilled, you want to feel satisfied, what do? Well, you go out and you have to stimulate your senses in some way. So you stimulate the tongue, or the ears, or the eyes, or the nose, or the skin, often the skin. Sexual activity. You're empty. Every living entity needs to feel happy within. That is our nature, to be happy. In the spiritual world, we're happy continuously because we're thinking of Krishna. We're glorifying Krishna. We're honoring Krishna, applauding Krishna. We're always in love with Krishna and we're thinking of how we can serve Him, how we can in some way please Him, how we can in some way bring a broader smile to His lips, how we can open His eyes wider. We're thinking of service and pleasing service. So, when that happens, it is a lamentable day because the devotee is becoming less and less a devotee. And we can all learn from so many, there have been so many fall downs in our movement. And you're looking at one of them right now. Yeah, I'm serious. I'm not just saying that. I did have my fall down. If I didn't, I wouldn't be in the club. So, therefore, having been a veteran of the fall down club, I can speak very authoritatively about it. I know exactly how it works. And because I know how it works, I like to warn others that it will work in you also if you don't be careful. If you don't realize that and take shelter of Krishna every moment, every second. When we do that, we are connected with the most powerful, greatest, glorious person. As Krishna says, one who is not connected with me in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? There can't be. And if we don't have peace, inner peace I'm talking now, in the heart, not some external show of peace sometimes people put on. They speak very slowly, you know, like that. So I'm not talking about that. Inner peace means you're in connection, you're in contact with Krishna. And all we're doing is absorbing His peace and reflecting it. And when you come into contact with someone who is reflecting Krishna's peace, you cannot help but feel peaceful, as all of us did when we came into the contact with Srila Prabhupada. He couldn't help but feel peaceful. He didn't have any worries. There were problems, but he didn't worry about them. He just dealt with them. Took shelter of Krishna, as he says right here in this purport. He took shelter of Krishna. He depended upon Krishna. As Krishna says in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. What is this acting through false ego? This is interesting. To act through false ego is to think that you're the doer. Now, we're taught from an early age to think that we're the doers. We're in this world to prove to others and to ourselves that we are little lords or big lords, as big as we can get. Become a president, become a senator, become a star basketball player, a rock star, a famous actor, famous actress. Become famous, in some way be noted, in some way be glorified, in some way be honored. So there is a tendency, as we're growing up, to try to be independent. The more independent you become, in other words, the less I need you, I need you, I need you, the more lordly I am, because the Lord is the ultimate independence. God Himself needs nobody. He doesn't need your food. He doesn't need any clothing that you sew for Him or make for Him. He doesn't need the drinks that you prepare for Him. He doesn't need your music. He doesn't need anything. He's blissful by Himself. But the thing that He loves most is pure love. That's His nourishment. He loves your love. And when you give it to Him in an unalloyed, pure fashion, when it's unconditional, undemanding, uninterrupted, when it's done in that manner, Krishna enjoys that. And it can come in so many different flavors. It can come in the service that a person performs as a friend, or as a servant, or as a parent, or as a girlfriend, boyfriend. All these different kinds of love that Krishna's pure, great, wonderful devotees offer to Krishna, he relishes, he delights in them, because they're not asking for anything in return. It's like devotion, which means selfless affection and ardent dedication. That's the meaning, you look in the dictionary. Selfless affection. You don't want anything in return. You do it because you love doing it. The action itself is its own reward. As they say, virtue is its own reward. Devotional service is its own reward because it brings to one a closeness, a nearness, a tightness, a compactness, as Prabhupada says, with Krishna. And there is nothing greater, nothing higher, nothing better, nothing more glorious than to feel our closeness, our nearness with Krishna. But it don't come cheap. The position of the devotee is that I am too fallen, I'm too wretched, I'm too worthless, I'm too useless to be able to ever be in that position or that condition. Me, I have committed so many offenses, so many sins, so many wrongs. How could Krishna ever want to embrace me? And we see this illustrated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya goes to embrace Sanatan Goswami. He says, no, please, not me. I'm too fallen. I'm too wretched. He's a great, great, not only scholar, but great, great devotee whom Lord Chaitanya says, you are qualified to teach the whole world. And yet he's flinching. He's standing back. He says, please, Lord, I'm so filthy. I'm so full of sin from my previous activities when I was working for the Muslims. I shouldn't be touched. And yet the Lord saw his heart, not what he did in the past. The Lord saw his devotion, not what he did in the past. And he wouldn't let him go away. He just grabbed him and he hugged him and tight. And then Sanatan Goswami said, I have all these itching sores, all this pus is going over your body. Please, I'll go to hell for this. He says, you're not going anywhere to hell. You are staying with me. And he did. So this is the mood of the pure devotee. He never thinks of himself worthy. He never thinks of himself deserving. Never thinks of himself honorable to be deserving of such or worthy of such closeness or nearness to the Lord. And that's the proper attitude. I'm so filthy, foul. I have so many wrongs, the Lord. But still, in spite of that fact, I yearn for, I desire, I want to be close to the Lord in spite of the fact that I know I'm unworthy, I'm undeserving. Why do I want to be close to the Lord? Because he's the most lovable being in existence, along with his pure devotees. Well, why shouldn't I want to be with the topmost, best of bestest of person? He's full of love, he's full of peace, he's full of mercy, he's full of kindness, he's watching out for me, he's looking out for me, he's doing so many things for me every moment. Why wouldn't I want to be with someone so kind, so sweet, so merciful, so generous? Why wouldn't I? Of course I want to be, and yet, I know I'm unworthy. So when Krishna doesn't appear to me, when Krishna doesn't manifest to me, when Krishna doesn't answer my prayer, I can only say, I know, Lord, I don't deserve it. And so what you're giving me is proper and right. And I hope one day by your mercy, by your grace, by your help, I will perhaps, maybe, possibly deserve what I'm asking for. And if it comes, it comes to the devotee as a great, great surprise. Me? How come? Why me? So many better devotees, so many higher, so many sweeter, so many more lovable. Krishna gives no answers. He knows the heart of the devotee. He knows what we should receive. So as the verse is saying that we must get into this habit. Now the question is, why do we think more of ourselves or more of matter than Krishna? Why is it so difficult to get into the habit of depending upon Krishna? This is a very interesting point. Because as I said a little earlier, we get into this habit of self-sufficiency. I'm capable. I'm adequate. I'm sufficient. I have my own independent strength. I don't need you. I don't need this. I don't need that. because I'm qualified. I've accomplished so much. So the more we think we are competent, the more we begin to feel confident. And the more we feel confident, the less we think we need anyone else but ourselves. And the more we begin to achieve things without thinking of Krishna, not realizing that Krishna is making all the wonderful, amazing, astonishing, and startling arrangements in our lives, the more we forget that, ignore that, or don't even know that, the more egocentric we become. And therefore, it becomes very, very difficult for a devotee to depend upon Krishna, because he's always been depending upon himself. And when you depend upon yourself, then you think, as I said, you're competent, you're confident, you're capable. What do I need Krishna for? This is our tendencies. This is our habit. But the more we begin to think that at any moment we can fall, any moment we can be injured, when we see the reality, as I speak now, there's a car crash someplace. As I speak now, somebody's having a heart attack. As I speak now, somebody is being injured. If we have this kind of recollection, and we realize that those persons that I'm thinking of who could be injured, who could be harmed, who can be killed, or who can be hurt in any manner or form, physical, mental, intellectual, if I think that I am one of those persons and it can happen to me at any moment, then you have to depend upon Krishna. You can't help it. You realize you're just weak, incapable, ready to be smashed at any moment, even though you're very flying in the clouds with your false confidence and false courage and false strength. Krishna, he can smash that in a second. It's like I always give that example of the person who's walking down the block, yes, just went to the doctor, had a checkup, gave him what they call a bill of health, no problems, everything is perfect. Your heart's working well, respiratory system is good, digestive system is good, your circulatory system is working perfectly, your brain is great. Don't even worry about anything. Really, doc? Yes, don't worry, just go on. Whatever you're doing is good. Wonderful. And he goes walking down the block singing, zippity-doo-da, zippity-yay, my oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine coming my way. Zippity, boom. He's on the ground. He's got an angina attack. He's dead. So much for zippity-doo-dah. Walt Disney's contribution to the spiritual Krishna consciousness movement. So, yeah, it can happen to any of us. And it will happen. One day we will leave. So let us remember this. Let us remember that all those problems and pressures and tensions and harmful activities that are going on in the material world can and may happen to us. So let us prevent ourselves from coming back to this material world. It doesn't mean that necessarily you're a devotee. You must go back to Godhead. You go where you're attached to. Let's all get attached to Krishna. Let's realize that there's nobody but he and Srila Prabhupada and all of our great acharyas who can really help us. Let us take shelter of them, as it's mentioned in the purport here. Let us think of them. And sometimes it's hard. You're doing some service. You're doing some work. How are you going to think of... Stop for 5 minutes. Keep a picture of Krishna over the computer. Stop for 5 minutes and say, my Lord, I'm thinking I'm so capable. Look at me. My fingers are running across the computer. Or I'm talking on the phone and I'm making so many deals. Now stop for a few minutes and say, Krishna, I couldn't do it at all if it weren't for you. Therefore, it is by your mercy that it's being accomplished. Consequently, I depend upon you for everything, all my success, all my failure, depending upon you will be attributed, will come from you. And whatever comes from you will be good, as long as I'm thinking and depending on focusing and centering my whole heart upon you. So I pray, my Lord, please fill me with more love for you. If I have more love for you, I will be more attached to you. If I be more attached to you, what will happen? What will happen is I will be close to you, near to you, and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead, and be right with you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or any comments or any corrections or anything you'd like to say? Yes, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Yep.
Your example is apropos for the man who has the heart attack. Although, hopefully, if he did go to see a doctor, there would be some semblance of warning beforehand. Although not necessarily, but generally.
I was using the example of the person who doesn't have any warning, and I know many people just like that, who've got that checkup, and then they feel overconfident. What I'm trying to bring out is never be overconfident. Go ahead. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was the idea. And that's what we get into, this overconfidence, because the doctor said, you know, the dentist said, my bond broker said that, yeah, everything's going up, so invest and everything goes down then. I mean, and this overconfidence. In other words, we needed to step back for a second or two and say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. You know, things may not be as rosy as they are. So the bond broker is telling me to invest, you know, $50,000. All right, I'll try 10 and see if that works. If the market keeps going up, well, maybe I'll put. I'm talking about municipal bonds, not the big gambling types of bonds where companies go up and down. Municipals mean, of course, even municipalities go bankrupt also. But there are certain what they call built-in protections. Which the municipalities, they have to pay off all their debts before they for anything else, and generally the bond debts. But anyway, my main point is that let us never be overconfident about anything. And when somebody praises us and applauds us, let us say thank you very much, and inwardly say, Krishna, it all goes to you because you're the one who made it happen. If we get into that wonderful habit, I'll tell you, you'll be so Krishna conscious and so joyful and happy. Any other question? No? Everybody agrees? No arguments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.